Y'all came out in the snow. I was thinking about Andy this morning because I was, because I'm always thinking about Andy. He's just always on my mind. I saw a meme of this guy walking through the snow, and he's got shorts and tennis shoes on, and the meme said something like, "There's always that one guy." I was like, yeah, there is. His name is Andy. And I'm surprised you're not in shorts today out in the snow. So your wife must have made you wear pants. Thanks, Bree. Ryan's got sandals on. There's always the one guy, yeah. So I don't know how you do it. You know, like, oh my, I literally have, for like 6 months, I have literally done cold training, like learning to endure and bear the cold. For 6 months, I've been taking cold showers. You could not find me in a pair of sandals on a day like today. So you guys are able to do it without training. So good on you. We got a quick video to show you guys, because we're talking about joy. Check this out. Check this video out.
Hey, I'm really excited to share with you something I got. Okay, I went to Kohl's today. I had to make a couple returns. Stuff didn't fit. Surprisingly, it was a little too big. Thank you. I know some of you may be thinking the opposite. Shame. No shame. It's all love. It's all love. Okay, so here's what I found when I was at Kohl's. And I'd like to say that I bought this for my son that would really, really want it. And let's be honest, he'll probably confiscate it from me. Confiscate? That's a word, right? Okay, so he'll probably take it from me. However, this is mine. Like, when it's said and done, at the end of the day, this is mine that I bought. And I'm going to keep it for my own. You can see it kind of has Star Wars. Oh, you're getting a little hint. Okay, so you want to see what I got? It's so great. I can't wait to show you. Okay. This is part of my birthday joy, still rejoicing in my birthday. And so here's what I got. I'm going to take it out of the box, and I can't wait to show you. Okay, I'm in a parking lot, and people are literally looking at me like crazy. I don't even care. Okay, so here it is. Hold on. It may be a little tight. It may be tight on me. I got to undo it just a little bit. Hold on. Stay patient, people. Stay patient. This is going to be worth it. I promise. Maybe not, but it's worth it to me. And I had to share with my friends on the internet webs. So here's what, I'm having trouble getting it. Okay, patient. All right, we're doing good. Okay, so this is what I got. Once again, this is for me, not for Duncan, not for Cadence. I mean, I'll let them play with it. I'm not a bad mom, I'm not a jerk, but in all honesty, at the end of the day, it doesn't go in their toy box, it goes in my room. So here we go. I gotta take off my glasses for it. Oh, naturally. Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's not me making that noise, it's the mask! Here, listen. Now I'm going to let Chewbacca talk here. Oh my gosh, I'm in tears. Wow. my goodness. Y'all have an incredible day. It's a simple choice.
All right. All right. So we're talking about joy, right? By the way, do you all know how, like, when you post a video to, like, YouTube or something, you can generate revenue and things like that. You make money from people viewing it and things like that. She made almost $500,000 on that, and she gave it to charity. And she's just a wonderful person and walks in joy. She's a believer. And so we're talking about that today. Real quick, let's put our mission, our vision up here, on here. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we are all about. And so today, what we're doing is we are wrapping up our two-part series called Better Than Happy, which, by the way, next week we start a three-part series called Crazy Makers. How do we deal with, how do we live with the people who make us crazy in our lives? And so it's going to be great, and it's just in time for the holidays. but we're talking this morning about better than happy, where this value, this emotion, this pursuit we have for happiness, right? And we're holding it up against what God has for us, which is joy, and we're seeing what it really takes to walk in joy. And last week we talked about how joy is better than happiness because joy makes us stronger, that joy is a choice, that joy doesn't depend on our circumstances. And that when we give joy away, we get more joy. Isn't that cool? But the joy economy is when we give joy away, when we bring joy into other people's lives, it actually brings us more joy. So, like, if I decide, you know what, today I'm going to bring a little joy into Eric's life, it's not like I'm going to now have less joy because I gave it to Eric. In fact, I will have even more joy, right? And so that's the way the joy economy works. And so today, what I want to talk about is just how we can actually generate joy in our lives. And, you know, we don't have to wait for our circumstances to change. We don't have to wait for our moods to change or anything like that. But we can generate joy in our lives. Remember last week I mentioned how I lost my job way back in the day. I lost my job. And you guys are wondering, like, which one? Because you lost, like, 20 of them. Well, one of them in particular. And I was young married guy. I had a baby. Forrest was only maybe a year old at the time, and it was just a total surprise. It was a sucker punch. I stepped into work one day, and they said, "You're gone." And a friend of mine said, "Hey, go home, put on some worship music, dance and celebrate and worship God in your living room." In fact, what she said was to worship God as if he had already blessed me with a new job, you know, which was pretty, which actually ended up being prophetic, because when I went home that day and worshiped God as if he had already given me a new job, number one, yes, it generated joy in my life. Number two, that very night, somebody offered me a job that paid way better than the one I lost that morning. And so God just has a way of working things out for us. I think, you know, don't we love it when we see our children have joy, right? Like, I mean, how many of us will look at our, like, because we do silly things to bring our kids joy, don't we? I know he shouldn't eat that, but he sure is going to make him happy, you know. I'll never forget, like, when my son was like a year old, my dad came to town to see him, and he took us to this Golden Corral. Do you remember that, honey? Oh, my goodness, I hate that place. And so we go to the Golden Corral and we sit down, and we had always been like super, like, let's just give Forrest the just whatever's super healthy, no sugar, stay away from sugar. And like the first thing my dad does is he goes to the buffet and he grabs a plate and he puts a bunch of chocolate pudding on it, and he sits down next to my son and he starts feeding him chocolate pudding, you know. And of course I'm going, "Oh God, don't give it to him. No, you don't understand what that's going to do to him." And but it's just making Forrest so happy, you know. Like, we love to see our children just filled with joy, right? And that's the way I believe that God is with us. God has a Father's heart. He is our Heavenly Father. He loves to see us as His children full of joy. And I remember in the case with my job, all that worry and all that depression and all that feeling of kind of rejection, it was replaced not by the job that I got that night, but beforehand when I was worshiping God and I was filled with joy. I was filled with praise for the Lord and I was filled with gratitude. And a lot of times Real joy, true joy, when we experience it, many times it's irrational. It's not joy that's based on circumstance. It's joy that doesn't make sense at all. In fact, a lot of times we'll feel a sense of joy and we'll almost feel like it's wrong to feel joyous about this. Like, have you ever felt that way before? I don't know why I feel happy about this. This is weird. God help me out, okay? And I know that I have an uncle right now that's actually going through cancer treatments. They found a tumor in his brain, and so he's been going through radiation treatments. He's on chemotherapy, and things are not looking well for him because in addition to the first tumor that they found, they've been able to shrink through radiation, they found a second tumor now. And so the unusual thing, though, because, you know, I get reports from my mom, and my mom calls me, and she goes, I don't know what the deal is with Mark. He just seems so happy. You know, and so he's just filled with joy. It's irrational, okay? And so a lot of times joy, real joy is irrational. It doesn't make sense that we are experiencing joy during a particular type of circumstance in our lives. And so how do we do that? How do we generate joy in our lives when we need it? How can we live in such a way that we carry joy with us everywhere we go, regardless of our circumstance? And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we praise you. We praise you for joy. We praise you, God, because your joy is our strength, and that our joy is not determined by our circumstances. God, that we can walk with you, and we can encounter and experience and actually generate joy in our lives. I pray, God, that you would open our eyes today, that you would help us to walk in your purposes and your plans for our life. Let your word just transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off, we're going to look at Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Excellent. It's an incredible passage. Sometimes, you know what, this would be like an awesome one to just put on your refrigerator, put on your mirror, put somewhere, you know, create a plaque, go on your computer and create something, and put it up somewhere in your home, because this is a wonderful one to be able to read and remind yourself of just when you're going through life, okay? Psalm 100, 1 through 5, it says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness." Everybody say, worship the Lord. Okay, worship the Lord with gladness. "Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his." It's super important. I'll read that part again. "He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful script. Put it on a t-shirt. Do something to remind you of yourself of that. So these five verses cover a lot, but listen, if you only remember one thing, if you only remember one single thing this morning about generating joy, about having joy in your life, it's this, and this is so important, and it's this. Joy comes when we live as God created us to live, right? God created us to live in a certain way. God created us with purpose. He created us with plan. He had a way in mind and a design in mind when he created us. And when we decide to live differently than as God created us to live, it creates discord within us, right? And our joy begins to dissipate. God created us in a certain way, to live a certain way. And this doesn't just pertain to joy, this pertains to every area of our lives, okay? Think about your body for a minute. You know, and I know, that our bodies were designed to live off of a specific type of diet. Yes or no? Okay? And so our bodies were also designed to move, to exercise. Yes or no? Okay, and when our bodies are feeding off of that diet and exercising in that way, then our bodies experience harmony. Our bodies experience peace, right? But when we get off of that healthy diet and that exercise, what happens when we eat lots of junk food, when we become couch potatoes? We don't feel so good, do we? There's discord within our bodies. There's unhealth within our bodies. We lack energy, okay? And we get sick. And the same thing goes for our spirit and for our minds, okay? When we live as God created us to live, it eliminates the discord and we experience joy. How did God create us to live? God created us to live in healthy relationships, right? God created us to live in healthy relationships. God created us to worship Him. You are created to worship God. Why do you think it is that sometimes we might come in here on a Sunday morning and we're feeling glum or we're feeling depressed or whatever, but then we begin to worship God and our spirits are lifted, right? Our attitudes are lifted because we were created to worship God. And when we neglect the worship part of our created intent, it creates discord and we get spiritually tired, right? And so we don't experience that. So we were created to have healthy relationships. We were created to worship Him. We were created to find our belonging in God's family, right? That's where He created us to find our belonging. That's why people who are in church every Sunday are pretty happy people, right? And so statistically, yeah. So and actually, they do research on worship and things like that and belonging. And people who engage in the body in Christ regularly tend to have more joy, okay? And so we were created to be more like Jesus, to become like Jesus, who was loving, who was forgiving, who was concerned for the poor, who was concerned for the sick, okay? And when we live like Jesus lived, we have greater harmony in our life. We experience joy. We are created to serve others. Those who serve others have more joy, okay? And that's science, okay? This is how science and Scripture are in harmony with that. When we serve others, we have more joy. We are created to live out a mission that's bigger than ourselves. Why is it that some of the wealthiest people in the world are some of the most miserable people in the world? Because they have not been living for something bigger than themselves. It's been about consuming and accumulating and having more and more and more and more. Okay? So God created us to live a certain way, and when we don't live the way God created, it creates discord and our joy dissipates. So when we live as God created us to live, we experience joy. Verse 3 says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He has made us and we are His. So God made us, we are His. When we acknowledge that, when we live in that, we experience joy. And the sooner that we start living that out, the sooner we experience wholeness in our lives and joy. So joy comes when we live as God created us to live. So if you remember anything this morning, please remember that, okay? So next, we generate joy when we trust that God cares about what happens tomorrow. So much time we spend fearing what tomorrow is going to bring, don't we? And we're always concerned about tomorrow. And we live in a culture that just seems to panic about tomorrow. You know, oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's our president going to do? What's North Korea going to do? What's this going to do? What's going to happen here and there? And when's the next racial outbreak and outburst and rioting and things like that? And we're just consumed about tomorrow. And you know, that's something that even we worry about sometimes in the church. Well, what's God's will for me? And what's he gonna do in my life tomorrow? And what am I supposed to do? And you know, some people, they're so concerned about what they're supposed to do tomorrow that they forget about what they're supposed to be, you know? And we're just consumed about what we're going to do tomorrow, and we forget about, well, who does God want me to be? Who does God want me to be? Because listen, if we focus on who God wants us to be, tomorrow will take care of itself, okay? Tomorrow will flow out of who we are, okay? But we get all stressed out whenever there's an election. And just weird, like, prophecies, you know, this weird prophetic stuff comes out when elections come along. Oh, you know, the Trump's going to blow all these kind of weird prophetic, the blood moons are going to come and Lake Michigan's going to empty out into the Mississippi River. Literally, that was a prophecy when I was a kid. Like when I was in high school, Lake Michigan is going to empty out into the Mississippi River. You know, I honestly believe that if somebody's going to write a book and make millions of dollars scaring the pants off of everybody for blood moons, everybody who bought that book ought to show up at that guy's house throwing the book at their house saying, I want my money back, when the world didn't end after the fourth blood moon, okay? We get so worried about tomorrow. We are just, we're in a panic about tomorrow. And we get all stressed out. Is Social Security going to be there for me when I retire? And what's the world going to look like for my children and for my grandchildren? But God is already in our tomorrow. God's already there. You know, tomorrow is God's yesterday, you know. He's been there. He's there. He knows what's going to happen. And he's there, and he promises to never leave us or forsake us. God, it's not like we're going to, you know, get to tomorrow and God's like going to turn his back on us. You know, he's not going to change his mind about the whole never going to leave you, never forsake you thing. God's there. He's going to walk with you tomorrow. You know, who was it? Was it a Mark Twain quote? I've worried about many things, and a couple of them have actually happened. Is that, am I even in the ballpark there? Somebody help me. You're a reader. like you're just full of Mark Twain books. You know, that's all you read. So, but verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, right? The Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. God's love isn't going to fail us tomorrow. God's not going to leave us tomorrow. He's not going to leave us on our own. His faithfulness continues to each generation. That means that God's love is going to be there for your kids. God's love is going to be there for your grandkids. God's going to be with us. He's going to be with them. We don't have to fear for tomorrow. Okay? And so when we have hope for tomorrow, right, when we take all this fear out of the way, which, you know, by the way, listen, just this is parenthetically, I'll watch Wendy because she'll give me a look if I'm just, if I just go off on a tangent, okay? Parenthetically, when we kind of go through our Facebook feed or we watch the news and we say, oh, this is happening. Did you know that, you know, your babies might choke to death in their car seat? Or if you've been drinking, whatever, city water, then you're probably going to get an ulcer. You know, all these things come up. You know, all the articles, they come up in our Facebook feed and things like that. Fear sells. Fear is an incredible motivator. Fear is one of the greatest and most used marketing tools on the planet. And so when we are fed fear, you have to keep that in mind, that there's somebody's just trying to grab your attention. Somebody's trying to sell you something. Somebody's trying to get some click-throughs. Somebody's trying to, you know, somebody's trying to grab hold of your attention at that moment. And so when you remind yourself of that, that somebody is trying to grab your attention, somebody is marketing to you when they post something or a broadcast is made, broadcasting fear, you have to keep that in mind, okay? And so it helps, when you do, it helps you to understand that things really aren't as bad as things are painted to be, because people are trying to grab your attention, grab your dollar, grab your clicks, grab your likes, grab your, you know, your wallet. And so, but we need to have hope for tomorrow. Right? Hope for tomorrow. We need to believe that tomorrow is going to be better. Right? That we have hope for tomorrow. And so tomorrow is going to be good. And we say, hey, I'm going to have an awesome tomorrow. Even if you're in your 40s, you're going to have an awesome tomorrow. Even if in your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, you're going to have an awesome tomorrow. The best is yet to come. And when you tell yourself that, and when you look at your calendar, and you look at your watch, and you look in the mirror, and you say, you know what, the best is still yet to come. Tomorrow's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome for my kids. It's going to be awesome for my grandkids. It generates joy, right? Just saying those things. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great tomorrow. Okay? So joy comes when we trust that God cares about what happens tomorrow. All right? So, third thing is this, we generate joy with gratitude. Gratitude. Okay? Yeah, it's so funny. They say that, you know, in other countries, why, you know, because in America, we are incredibly rich. You ever notice that? We're always talking about, like, oh, the 1%. Oh, the 1%, man. You're a bunch of greedy turds, right? Oh, the 1%, the 1%. Did you know if you make $50,000 a year, you are in the 1%? If you make $50,000 a year, you are in the 1%, right? And so you can have a whole lot of gratitude, a whole lot of gratitude. And no matter what we have things to be grateful for. Verse 4 says to enter his gates with thanksgiving, thanksgiving. So rather than complaining about what we don't have and worrying about what we don't have, because isn't that what we do a lot of times, right? Does anybody here have an Amazon wish list? More of you than that have an Amazon wish list, right? Because we do. I keep an Amazon wish list. I got a bunch of stuff I want, right? And we focus on when we get obsessed with what we don't have rather than being grateful for what we do have, okay? And so we need to begin to be grateful for what we do have. And so one of the easiest ways to get out of a funk in your life is to begin to count your blessings. And we have a lot of blessings, okay? Not just material blessings. But we have awesome kids. right? We live in a country that's still free. We live in a community that we have an opportunity to bless and partner with God. Okay, we have a church that we can come together and we can worship. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. And so, begin to thank God. Count your blessings. Every one of us has something to be thankful for. And if you can't think of anything, be grateful that Jesus is crazy in love with you. Okay? He is crazy in love with you. He took the punishment for all your sins. One day you're going to live forever with Him in a place where there's going to be no more sickness, there's going to be no more suffering, there's going to be no more dying. We can thank Him for ushering in and inaugurating His kingdom. Okay? And we get to be a part of His kingdom rule and reign. And that is awesome and something to be thankful for. Okay? So we can generate joy in our life with gratitude, with thanksgiving, with counting our blessings. And I think that's so important to do. In fact, that should be something that we all put into practice just even every day. Thank you, God, I have this. Thank you, God, I have that. I remember I had a job that I hated. Oh, my goodness. It was one of those cubicle farms. I was on the phone doing customer service. Nobody calls customer service to tell them they really liked the product. You know what I mean? And just people would just call me. I was just getting yelled at every day. Oh, I hated that job. But every morning I would get up, and even though I didn't really, I couldn't find a whole lot within the job itself to be thankful for, I would say, God, I thank you that you have given me the power to make wealth. I thank you that you have given me a mind. You've given me you've given me hands and feet where I can drive to work. You have given me, a healthy body. You have given me the ability to go and make money. And even though I don't like the job, I can do it. I can make money. I can go and do it. And so sometimes we just got to find something to thank God for, all right? Because we generate joy with gratitude. And the fourth thing is that we generate joy by praising and worshiping God. Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. I've come to church heavy-hearted a lot of mornings, only to exchange that heaviness for joy by praising Him, by just setting my mind, setting my focus on Him. Instead of focusing on my problems, instead of focusing on my fatigue, instead of focusing on the disappointments in my life or the discouragements in my life, I'm putting my focus on Jesus, okay? I'm putting my focus on Him. Not because I'm expecting Him to make it all better, not because I'm expecting Him to take away my discouragement, not because I'm expecting Him to do anything for me, but simply because He is worthy of my praise and He's worthy of my gratitude just for being Him. Okay? And so we've got to stop looking at Jesus as like this. Sometimes we look at Him like a slot machine. I'm going to say a prayer. That's my coin. I'm going to pull the handle. That's my praise. And let's see if the dollar signs line up and He blesses me back. That's just disgust. That's gross. It is. That's gross. That's consumer to come to church to praise God. Sort of like praising Him, expecting Him to, do stuff for us, okay? Not that He doesn't, because I just said, He does bless us. He does bless us. But when we finally understand this idea that He's worthy of our praise, He's worthy of our worship, okay, simply because He is, period, right? Man, that just takes you to a whole nother level of praise. And it gets us out of this sort of consumer mindset of coming and praising to get, and coming to worship to get, coming to Him to experience. Because yes, you're going to get those things. You're going to experience those things. God is awesome. He's loving. He's a Father. He wants to see you happy. But the motivation of our praise really is wonderful, and it's a beautiful thing when it's just because, God, I praise you because you are. Because you are. Because you're worthy of my praise, right? And sometimes our children, are they always perfect? No. But why do we love them? Why do we love them? Because, they're worthy of our love. They're worth our love because God gave them to us to love, okay? And so, but God is perfect, and He's awesome, and He's worthy of our praise, and so we come and we praise Him, and it will generate joy, okay? So I just took, a very long way around to get to a very short distance, okay? So we generate joy by praising and worshiping God. Something supernatural happens when we tell God that you're awesome and you rule and you reign over everything and I love you, God, and you're loving and you're compassionate and there's no one like you. Just something supernatural happens, okay? And praise elevates our perspective. That's the cool thing about praise. It increases our trust. There's just something about praise that helps us to see things more clearly, okay? And it increases our trust, and it's a weapon against depression. It's a weapon against discouragement. Praise. Praise, 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 praise. We have so much to thank Jesus for. And, you know, it's like, it blows my mind that Christians aren't, like, celebrating constantly. You know? It blows my mind that we are not people that are just, like, completely amazed and in awe and tickled with everything because God is so awesome and so wonderful to us. We should be people that are celebrating constantly. Now, I don't celebrate constantly. I know that I take dips and I have hills and valleys in my emotions. I have hills and valleys in my circumstances and things like that. And I wonder even about myself sometimes why I'm not just overflowing with praise all the time. But I think that we should at least make that effort, right? That praise should be a part of our life. That praise should be a discipline that we take. And so when we have an opportunity to praise, we should do that. So, I mean, most of us will drive 10, 15 minutes in the car. You know, what a wonderful thing if we decided, you know, instead of talk radio this morning, instead of you know, just regular old radio, I'm going to put on some worship today, right? Could you imagine how much better our attitudes would be on our job if we spent that 15-minute drive, that 10-minute drive into work just praising our guts out in the car? Imagine how much better our attitudes would be. Imagine how much better how much more our joy level would be if we, you know, we're driving home from work and we're tired. And now, you know, a lot of us, we get home, and especially if you have small children, you get home and you're tired from work. You know, sometimes getting home even feels more tired, right? You feel more tired being home, you know, than you did getting off work because you put in 8-9 hours and then you get home and you got small children and, you know, your spouse is going, help me, you know? And so imagine how much better our attitudes and how much more strength and how much joy we would have if that ride from work to home, we were just praising God the whole way. Right? If we just put on some awesome worship music that just lifted up our spirits as we worship God, because praise and worship generates joy. It generates joy. And we need to make it a priority in our lives, okay? And so we should be celebrating. And so lastly, and listen, this is a bonus. This isn't found in Psalms 100. I'm going to take it like a diversion into Matthew. But the last thing is this. When we generate joy, when we choose not to take ourselves so seriously. Don't we do that sometimes? Have you ever known somebody who takes themselves way too seriously? You're like, they just don't seem to have any joy. They don't really joke around a whole lot. I remember there was somebody that I met years ago. I won't say who, but when I started to date somebody, I won't say who I started to date, but Their dad didn't like me because I wasn't serious enough. And I won't say who that is, but they're sitting in the back row. And so, but their dad didn't like me because he said I wasn't serious enough, you know. And some people, it's like they just take everything and they take themselves so seriously that there's just no joy. There's just no happiness, you know. And Matthew 18:3 tells us this. It says, unless we become like children, we won't have a place in the kingdom. Unless we become like children, we won't have a place in the kingdom. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know a whole lot of children that take themselves real seriously. You know, children, they're laughing. Everything's funny, you know, except for one kid that I know. He doesn't like, he's always like, don't joke with me. And and so, but children, they laugh. Children have big faith, don't they? They believe, for anything. You know, honestly, when my children were small and I wasn't feeling good and they'd come in my room, like if I was just kind of out on the bed, I used to get so sick, I'd get an ear infection or sinus infection or just horrible flu, knock me out for a few days. And they'd come into my bedroom and just check on me, and I'd go, just pray for me, you know, right now, pray for me. And I would love it when my children prayed for me, because it's like they just, it was not an issue. Like, there was no question in their mind that God was not going to heal me. And so, children just have huge faith. Children don't worry about the future. They never worry about the future, you know. When you got a kid that's like 8 years old, he's not worried about the future. Unless you're going to Disneyland tomorrow, right? And then they're obsessed about the future, you know. what time are we going to leave? What are we going to do? What are we going to ride first? You know, but you know, children don't worry about the future. My kids have never come into my room ever. Even when we a few years ago, when I was laid off from a ministry I was working for, and we were like making no money. We went for the whole year making no money. Not a single time did they ever come up to me and go, "Hey, Dad, how do you think we're going to pay for the utilities this month?" You know, never, never. You know, they don't worry about the future, okay? They don't take themselves seriously. And children don't care one bit what people think about them. Not one bit. We were over at the Neumeyer's house. Claire didn't care when it was time to put on her pajamas, did she? Not one bit what other people think about it, you know? It's just like, they don't care. They don't take themselves too seriously. And God says, hey, become like children. Become like children. We need to stop taking ourselves so seriously. Become more like children. And if we do that, in that, we know that we would experience and encounter greater joy in our lives. Okay? And I'm going to wrap up. But imagine having just joy, no matter what your circumstance is. Just joy. Okay? And you know what? Joy, just like physical health, sometimes requires discipline on our parts. That's why I'm sharing these things with you, okay? Just like mental health requires some discipline on our health, right? If you've ever gone through a deep depression and you realize, oh, I've got to have some discipline. I got to go get some sunlight. I got to eat better. I got to get some exercise. I've got to, you know, maybe start taking some vitamin D and some omega-3. And we do have discipline. We discipline ourselves, and that depression lifts. And just like physically, when we're not feeling good and we're weak and we're tired and we're getting sick all the time, it requires discipline. Well, joy is the same way. It requires some discipline in our lives. To do some praising when we don't feel like it, right? To have some gratitude when we're not feeling particularly thankful, okay? And I want to challenge you to do all that you can do to live as God created you to live, right? Because when we live as God created us to live, we experience joy, okay? I want to challenge you to trust Him, okay, with your future, to intentionally express gratitude, to praise Him, even if it means dancing in your living room to worship music. Now, Ryan, I know that you will dance to music. I've seen video of you dancing to worship music. I've seen it. It exists. It's out there. All right? What's that? And we can get it and show it right here. Okay? It's not about your preference in music, Ryan. You know, refuse to take yourself so seriously. You will experience greater joy in your life. You will experience greater joy in your life. So Wendy's going to come. She's gonna lead us in the song. The worship team, go ahead and come on up and be smiling and full of joy. Come on, you can do... be smiling and full of joy. But I'm going to pray, and listen... If you need prayer this morning for anything, prayer team's going to be back there. And if you need prayer just for joy, if you're just kind of lacking joy in your life, go back there and get prayer. You can get prayer for anything, but you can go and especially if you need joy, go ahead and get prayer. But I'm going to go ahead and pray. God, we love You so much, and we pray, God, that You would help us to be a people of joy, people of joy. People who live as You created us to live, God. You created us to live a certain way. And when we don't live that way, God, it squelches our joy. I pray, God, that You would help us. Help us to be people, Lord, who live in healthy relationships. Who worship You. Who find our belonging in Your family. Who are striving to become more like Jesus and serve others and live out a mission that's bigger than ourselves. Because Your joy is our strength. Your joy is our strength. And joy overflows from us, God, unto others. God, it's a beautiful thing. God, You're so awesome. Come on, just tell God, You're awesome. And we thank You. So thank You, God. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your love. Go ahead, just use your outside voice. We thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for always being with us. Thank You that You are in our future and that You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Thank You, God, that You did create us to live a certain way. And we want to live the way that You created us to live. We want to walk in Your created intent for our life and Your purpose for our life, God. We thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name.